Welcome to the TEFL Training Institute podcast, the bite-sized TEFL podcast for teachers, trainers, and managers.
Okay, hi everyone.
Hello everyone.
Can I tell my story?
Please. What story?
So it's in 1920s Chicago, and there's lots of people working in factories. And this factory wants to see if they can increase the productivity and the efficiency of the people that work in the factory.
What do they do?
If you listen to this, you can hear it.
Okay.
The National Academy of Science began an experiment to determine how illumination affects worker efficiency. The premise was that output would improve if the lighting of work areas was improved. Something very curious happened when new experimental lights were installed. Output went up among those employees being studied, and also among those whose lighting had not been changed. And most puzzling of all, it continued to go up even when lights were turned down.
So basically, they turn off and turn on the lights in a factory and see how the lights affect their productivity.
I don't think we had people working in complete darkness. But I think they had people working in better and worse conditions, yeah. And they found that basically it wasn't the conditions that changed how people worked. It was whether people were observing them that changed how efficient the factory workers were.
Okay, how does it relate it to teaching?
Well, before we talk about teaching, the same thing's true in real life. So it's called, in this thing, it was called the Hawthorne effect, but we sometimes call it the observer's paradox. So, for example, you drive, right?
Yeah.
So if you look in your rear view mirror and you see police car, are you going to drive more carefully than normal?
Yeah, definitely slow it down and feel nervous.
Because you know that someone's watching you.
Yeah.
Or if you know that like your boss's boss is coming to Beijing office that day, will you make sure that you're on time and make sure that you seem to be more serious
definitely.
At work?
Yeah, for sure.
Right. So all these things are like people being watched or observed, then they change their behavior.
So how does it relate to teaching?
Well, that's what we're going to look at today. But I think the idea is that if you think about it, we change our behavior when we're being monitored by our boss or by policemen or something, then do you think students change their behavior when they're being monitored in class?
Okay, interesting. So shall we look at some questions?
Sure.
For the topic today?
What are they?
The first one, do students say different things when they're monitored or not monitored?
The second one, how can teachers get students to perform well in group work when they're not being monitored?
And the third one, how should teachers monitor? Okay, let's look at the first question.
Okay.
Students say something different when they're monitored or not monitored. I remember you wrote your portfolio for the Trinity Diploma and you focus on this. So do you want to share what you find out?
Well, the starting point is from Richards and Lockhart's book, Reflective Teaching in Second Language Classrooms. There's this quote and it says, a great deal of time in teaching is devoted to the interaction between the teacher and the learners and to the interactions among the learners themselves. The quality of this interaction is thought to have a considerable influence on learning. So this idea that in every classroom, we spend a lot of time setting up group work, and we know it's really important because that's the primary time when students get to talk to each other and practice language. But most of the time that the group work's going on, we don't actually know what the students are saying because we can't hear all the students at once.
Yeah, especially you have a large group of students, like 20 or 15. It's hard to know what's going on with each group.
Yeah, or I don't know about you when you taught in a public school, but when I taught in public school, sometimes I had 60 students in one class.
Yeah.
What was your biggest?
45.
Wow. Yeah, so then you've got even less of an idea. So anyway, for my portfolio, I wanted to see, did students use different language when they were monitored and when they weren't monitored? So I started off with like a group of 7-year-olds. And I can let you hear something. So this is a group of 7-year-olds playing kind of like a card game. So there's different flashcards on the floor and the students ask themselves, how are you? And then one of the students replies, like, I'm fine. And then the students have to hit the appropriate flashcard with a smiley face for that.
Okay.
I'm sick. So you can hear from this is like me filming them, and you can hear that.
Yeah, they produced a language. I assume the language they were using in the activity were the target language in the class.
Yeah.
Pretty good, actually. And they were all speaking English. So what did you find out when you did a monitor?
I find completely different thing.
Oh, really?
Happened. There were sort of two main differences. One, for that group of students, you heard that they were really well behaved. There were no arguments or anything. And all the language that they produced was target language.
Mm-hmm.
But I found that when I wasn't monitoring students. So what I would do, the way I'd set this up was I'd set up a group work activity and I'd leave my phone next to a group and I'd record them and I'd walk away. So
they started talking in their first language?
So they did. So the really interesting one was I got them doing a similar game, but it was saying, what are they doing? And the students would say something like, he's running, he's jumping, and they would have to hit the right flashcard. All that stuff they did in English. But then they started using their first language to say, whose turn is it? It's you. It's me. Quickly. And I thought it was amazing because the students were using the first language for a completely different purpose than in the one that I let you hear earlier. But for me, the really, really fascinating part is that the first language that they were using, that the things they were saying was simpler than what they were saying in the second language, because they were saying, like, it's you, it's me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's really simple, right? Mm. It's just two or three words. But in their second language, they were saying, what's he doing? She's washing the dishes. So they're using the present continuous tense. So at the end of it, I found that students were behaving very differently when they were monitored compared to when they weren't monitored.
What did you do after you find out the difference, students being monitored or not monitored?
So maybe that leads us on to our second question then. How can teachers get students to perform better in group work?
Mm. Guess before you tell us what you did.
Yeah.
Because you told us and the turn-taking language used by the students was more difficult than the target language.
No, it was easier. The things they were saying in the first language was simpler than what they were saying in their second language. And I think the reason they were saying it in the first language was they didn't think it was part of the activity. And the teacher never taught them how to say it's you or it's me. And the teacher never demonstrated. Or I never demonstrated.
Did you demonstrate for your next class?
Yeah, so that's what I did. And then I found that basically if you demonstrate all that stuff for the students, then they start using it.
Oh, so that's really cool.
Hmm.
I think they can even produce more.
Yeah, way more. Mm. So within the space of like five lessons, the students went from about 50-50 speaking Chinese and English to pretty much 100% English just by demonstrating like that turn-taking language. And the other thing that they used to do was correct each other.
Mm.
So just teaching them the word no, modeling no at the beginning of the game. And then that got rid of them speaking like 20% of Chinese, which was amazing.
Yeah, I think what you did, and basically every teacher we can try to plan it or predict it during the lesson planning and just think about during the task or activity what kind of language students may use, and then we can include them into the demonstration, not only focus on the target language they're going to speak.
So that was one thing.
Yeah.
Another thing that helped was differentiating the groups.
Oh, my favorite word.
So putting the most independent students together and having them work together and not monitoring them.
Mm.
And then I would actively monitor the less autonomous groups of students and give them a lot more help and encouragement.
And can you give us more details about it?
Yeah, so you mean basically you just put all the best students in the class together in one or two groups.
So you monitor them?
Or no,
you don't
leave them alone,
them. Oh,
right?
Okay.
Because those are the guys that can work really independently.
Mm.
And then the ones that you think are like the weaker students or the less independent students, then you can be with them more monitoring them because, you know, maybe like we're saying at the beginning, they're the ones that need the most help.
Okay.
You disagree?
Partly.
Go on. Why?
Because I think those people, they'll feel even more nervous because when I taught classes before, beginner students were weaker ones and they told me after class, I feel really nervous when you walk around. And
maybe that's the difference between teaching kids and teaching adults.
Mm,
so I guess that if you're teaching 6 and 7 year olds, they're not maybe going to feel so nervous with the teacher, whereas adults might do.
Yeah. Or maybe something we can talk about more later, the different type of monitoring.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's move on to that then. So our third question today, how should teachers monitor?
Mm.
So Tracy, do you want to tell us about some of the different ways that teachers can monitor an activity?
Mm. So I want to share what I read from the teaching Bible and the Jim Scrivener's book, Learning Teaching. I think it's quite simple, and there are four different types of monitoring. The first one is just full participation.
Okay, so this is like the teacher is acting as an extra student.
Almost. Yeah, just get involved in the activities and just perform like a student.
So what are some of the advantages and disadvantages of doing that?
I think you can have a better understanding about what's going on and you know better about the students, but I feel difficult if you have more students there. You can only participate in one group for very limited amount of time, and then you have to move on to the next group.
Yeah.
And then maybe you couldn't see the real behavior from your learners.
For me, you're kind of taking away from the students' independence and talking time a bit. But then sometimes maybe there's
you
a
have
need.
To.
Yeah.
If there are only one student,
yes,
you need to be
you've
the
got pair work. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So what's next? So slightly more autonomy for the students and slightly less teacher involvement. What's next?
Yeah, it's the active monitoring. I think most of teachers use it quite often. So they are taking notes and listen to what the students are saying to each other, and if there are any errors or especially impeding their communication, the teacher probably interrupt their conversation and then give them a little bit of support or correct their errors.
And then next down from that, with slightly more autonomy and less teacher involvement, is discrete monitoring. So I think this is when the students are aware that the teacher is there and the teacher is taking notes. Maybe they use it for feedback later, but the teacher doesn't get involved and doesn't interrupt and doesn't correct any errors. But again, maybe just that teacher presence, like I was saying at the beginning, might change the student's performance and get them to produce more language.
This too, I mean, compare the active monitoring and discrete monitoring, it just really depends on how teacher present themselves in front of the students. And the last one is vanish.
So this is complete autonomy for the students and no involvement from the teacher, right?
Mm-hmm.
So why would a teacher ever do that? Is that not just being lazy?
To be honest, like some reading tasks or maybe some listening tasks, even the teacher monitor, I don't think it's going to help anything. You know, for example, you are reading something. I really don't know if the teacher work around can help the students that much. And it's probably just make them feel annoyed.
I know Jim Scrivener says this is when if the teacher feels that them observing the students is kind of taking away from the students' autonomy or kind of interrupting them somehow.
Oh, you just reminds me of my teaching practice in diploma 5 years ago. And my observer basically asked me to sit down because I was walking around when they were doing a reading activity.
Oh, were you making the students dizzy?
the observer just pointed at the chair and asked me to sit down for 5 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah. So I asked him why. He said, I don't think you need to stand up and walk around. So what can I change? You just let them figure out. And then if there are any problems when you are, you know, go through the different answers, you ask them questions, you can find out. So if they have questions, they can raise up their hands.
Yeah.
You don't need to walk around.
Do you have any sort of best practices that you use when you're monitoring?
I usually use this metaphor. Yeah, talking about monitoring. Because if you know your learners are able to complete by themselves, or maybe they need a little bit time to figure out by themselves, just don't give them extra support. Like somebody can run. You don't want to give them a walking stick. Do you think it helps them? No, because you make them slow down. And another one is, if you do want to take notes when you're monitoring, you can let your learners know why you are doing it and what you are doing. Because I remember one teacher used his mobile phone taking notes, and the learners felt teacher was texting somebody when the teacher is teaching, and then complained at the end of the class. So any tips from you, Ross?
Because you know that when you look at people, you change their behavior. So for me, it's I'll stand next to one group of people and I'll listen to them, but I'll be looking at another group of people, but I'm not listening to the people that I'm looking at. So hopefully for the group that are next to me, they're saying what they would normally say if I wasn't there.
So Ross, at the beginning, you told us the story. People were observed in the factory and they behaved differently. What can teacher take away from that?
That when you are observing students, that you're not seeing what they normally behave like. And finally, when teachers model an activity, model not what you hope is going to happen. Demonstrate all that rich, diverse language, which is actually going to come out. So Tracy, what for you is the single biggest piece of advice you'd like people to remember about monitoring and group work?
Just teachers don't take away the learner's autonomy. Don't give them the walking stick when the students can run.
Good.
Bye. Thanks, everyone.
Bye-bye. See you next time.
If you've got a question or a topic that you'd like us to discuss, send us an email or leave us a comment.
If you'd like to listen to more podcasts, please visit our website,
www.tefltraininginstitute.com.